All right. You can turn in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. You can see the other ones on the screen this morning. So this sermon is about service, and it's about service to the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to put a little disclaimer on this morning. I'm not going to shame you in this sermon, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit convict you this morning of what are you doing in the kingdom of God, and how does that pertain to your lives? What does God expect out of us? What should that be looking like? And I'm going to talk about the local church. Some of you are heavily involved in the local church and other type of ministries throughout our community, and that's good. And some of you are not, and you might feel a little bit convicted today from that, but I'm going to preach the truth to you, and you're going to get the whole load today, and so that's where we're going to be at. And so as we enter into our Sunday school season, and you know, a couple weeks from now we're going to two services, and we need some extra help. And so it's part of that is the reason for bringing this out is that we need to spark the crowd a little bit, the congregation a little bit. There's more to do here in this church, and we need your help. And so I'm going to share some math with you here in just a little bit in this message as well of kind of what's going on in our church. So let's begin at Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And we're going to look at how Jesus lived his life. We are to live like Jesus, and this is what he teaches us. And so if you look with me and just follow along, we'll put this all together. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so you understand that he went to the cross for us. He gave his life that we could have eternal life one day. Now turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Lost my page marker, so give me just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter, what was the chapter? 9. All right. Now this one's titled Sowing Generously, but I want you to pay attention to the very last sentence that I'm going to give to you this morning. And I'm going to tie it all together in my message. It does talk about money here. It starts out as money, but I'm going to relate it to some other things this morning. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man or woman should give what he has decided in his or her heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to all you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And that's the piece I want you to think about this morning. Abound in every good work. And then turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. About page 18-19. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Very good verse. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for a blessing on your word today. Lord, may you fill me with your Holy Spirit. May these words be yours, Lord. And I just pray too for those that have gathered here to listen to this message this morning, that you open their hearts, minds, and souls to hear your teaching and how we should live the Christian life. In Jesus we pray these things. Amen. Got a question for you this morning. Pretty simple, straightforward question. How many of you change oil in your vehicle? Just one. Well, Al, that's good news. It gets getting a little lighter as you get towards retirement age for you. So how often do you change oil in your vehicle that you drive? I want you to think about that this morning. So some of you might put on 3,000 miles. Some of you might use that synthetic oil, and you might put on 5,000 or 6,000 miles. And some of us forget to look at our wife's car, and they might get 7,000 or 8,000 miles put on it, right? That's me once in a while. So anyway, but the idea is why do you service your car? Because you want it to run well, right? You want to take care of it. Why do you need to take care of your car or your vehicle, whatever you drive? Yeah, because you want to get somewhere, right? You want to be able to use that car to get to work, to get to see family, go on vacation, go get groceries, whatever it might be. You take care of that car. And some of you do it to a T, right? Every 3,000 miles, it's in the shop, or you change it yourself, and you check the radiator, and you make grease it or whatever, and you check the windshield washer fluid and the air pressure in the tires, and you do all that kind of stuff. So let me ask you the next question. How do you check your spiritual life, the oil of your spiritual life? What do you do to keep that serviced well? Talk to me, congregation. Read the Bible. What's that? Come to church. Pray. Very good. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. When it comes to service, how are you getting your spiritual oil changed? Okay? Now, I'm going to relate this back. So hang with me here a little bit because I'm setting you up just perfectly this morning, okay? Now, some of you put on a lot of spiritual miles throughout the week, and you hear every week, and you come here, and you get your spiritual oil changed, all right? You're active in ministry, things are going on, and things are happening. Now, how many of you, when you change oil, would you change oil if you only put on 500 miles? So why is it that some of you don't put on any spiritual miles, but yet you come to get the oil changed every week in your spiritual life? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit convict you of that one, right? And we're going to dig into this morning. Some of you are thinking, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And what I'm saying is how involved, how active are you in kingdom work as a follower of Jesus Christ? I am glad that you're in church this morning. I want you to be in church every Sunday. I love it when you come here. When you're gone, I miss you. And some of you are thinking, oh, Rob, he probably doesn't even notice. Oh, I notice. I know if I haven't seen you in a while. But I want to talk to you today about service to the kingdom of God. That's where I want to visit with you about today. What does your heart look like when it comes to that question? Right? Some of you are here every week because you need it. Some of you are here every week, you're not sure maybe what to do with it. But God has a plan. I want to talk to you about that this morning. What does that look like in my life? And I just want to challenge you with that this morning. So we're going to use a word that God uses often in Scripture. And I'm going to share this word with you. Jesus uses a word in Scripture called good works. All right? Ephesians 2 verse 10, it's on the top of the screen this morning. For we are God's workmanship, means that he created us, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us as our way of life. Do you see what I'm getting at there? As our way of life. He's expecting us to do something in the kingdom of God with the gifts that he's given you. You all have a gift. I can argue you biblically with that. You've been given a gift. He expects you to use it for the kingdom of God. All right? Now, notice I don't just say the church. Your church, you should take care of your local church first. But some of you have branched outside of that, and that's good. That's fine in different ministries, different areas that God calls us to. But get this, good works should be your way of life. So I come up with a definition of good works. Look at the red box on the screen. Some of you have already read it thinking, oh my gosh. All right, here's what it says, right? Here's the definition of good works. Now, you have to get my sarcasm this morning here when I read this to you, okay? Good works or service means to avoid getting involved, all right? Have nothing to do with or have great amounts of apathy. And if you don't know what apathy means that you just don't care. I just simply don't care. The church is full of apathy today. And I'm talking the greater church in the kingdom. A lot of people just don't care that come to church anymore. Yeah, I'm all right with that. You do whatever you want. Oh, I don't need to get involved in that. Looks like you got plenty of help. No, that's not what God intended for the church. That's not what God intended for his people. And so that's my sarcasm to you this morning. But here's the problem with that sarcasm is some of you think that that is actually your reality this morning as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I'm calling you out on that this morning. And I want to know, how are you living? Because it's important to your spiritual life. Are you active in the kingdom of God? Because God created us with good works in mind for us to do. All right? And at the very least, our purpose on this earth is to serve others and to fulfill God's plan for our lives. So are you doing that in your life? All right? I think that God is faithful and he'll give us opportunities and the resources necessary to do these types of things, to make a difference in the world that you and I live in. But I want to know this morning on a deeper level, are you using the opportunities and are you using the resources that God has given you? And by the way, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your gifts. I'm talking about where he's placed you, your home, your work, those types of things. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I wonder if we're using our resources and opportunities and giving to God in our lives. It's a challenge for you this morning to serve others, to trade our time and treasure so that others may experience the love of Christ. So that's my message today. All right, I ask you this question a lot, but how many of you would love to go to heaven? How many of you would love to have your family in heaven? How many would love to have your neighbors in heaven, your good friends in heaven? So we all want that. But here's part of the work to get there to that point. Not that we bring salvation or that we can actually earn salvation. That's God's part. But God calls us to be working in the kingdom of God. So let me ask you a question this morning. When you think of serving others, what images come to your mind? And they're all going to be different this morning. What are you thinking about? And don't blurt that out loud, but I want to kind of stretch you a little bit here this morning. What things come to mind? I got a few things I'm going to bring up to you. And these are good things, by the way, but I want to throw a few past you. And you kind of see, okay, where do I fit into this when I say these things? I imagine that some of you are simply thinking that I'm going to give money. Give them resources they can get what they need to do these things. Some of you may be thinking a service project to help somebody that's within need in our community. Paint a house, rake along, do something like that for somebody that maybe needs that. Some of you are thinking, I would go and work at the banquet in Sioux Falls and serve food to those that are homeless or hungry. That's what I would do. Or maybe go on a mission trip somewhere. Some of you are going through your mind thinking, okay, I serve in my local church. I'm a Sunday school teacher, or I'm a helper in the Sunday school system, or I'm on consistory, or I'm on this Bible study, or I'm that committee, or whatever it might be. I help do this. I usher. I serve coffee. Whatever it might be, you're finding your spot here. And this is what I want you to know this morning, that there are hundreds of ways that we can serve others in this church. So let me share some math with you this morning about this congregation, all right, and how things look. So we are right at that 300 members in our congregation. That's what's in our church, all right? And if you count those that aren't members, we're running that about that 325 to 350 souls, and I'm talking adults here, that we kind of take care of their spiritual lives that are part of this church that are connected in some way or another. All right? How many of you got an email from Beth this past week saying, hey, we could use some more Sunday school helpers. We could use some children worship helpers. Hell, we could use a second and third grade Sunday school teacher, right? Did you know that our areas of ministry that encompass just the children's ministries takes 100 volunteer spots? Some of you are covering as many as four or five of those spots. Some of you aren't doing anything at all. So we have 300 member church. We need about 100 volunteers, and we're struggling to get there. That's a problem, church. That's apathy. That's, I really don't care. That gets hard on a pastor. That gets hard on those trying to find people to fill. Let the Holy Spirit convict. Take a moment. Because this is what God calls us to do, to be the church. And you're not the church when you show up on Sunday and you become the bench warmer and you do nothing the rest of the week for the kingdom of God. That's not how Jesus taught us to live. That's not being a follower of Jesus Christ. We have a few guests in here this morning. This is your first time at this church, and they're probably thinking, is this how this always goes? No, it's not. But I felt compelled to preach this morning because this is what God is asking of his church. And I really feel that we are lacking in that area in this church because we need your help, especially starting Sunday school, moving to two services and this change. There's going to be some bumps. We know that. I pray that you have great amounts of grace because that's what I'm going to come with as well. Some of you have been asking me, are you ready for it? Can you handle it? Do you think you're ready to preach twice on Sunday morning? I said, yeah, God said I need to. I'm prepared to. Are people going to show up? I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it. God will take care of that. I have an idea that they are, though. But we need your help to teach Sunday school. We need your help to be helpers in the midst of those things. Now, I wanted to share that math with you this morning, because about two-thirds of our church isn't involved. And we need more horsepower. We need you. How many of you remember these bracelets? WWJD, remember those way back when? What would Jesus do? Right? You guys, some of you might even have some at home yet. They were big in the 90s when this came out. And let me just share just a little bit of history with you this morning about these bracelets. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just hang on for just a moment. I'll explain it to you. All right? So this is not something new that somebody came up with in the 90s, by the way. You can go all the way back into the 1800s, and Charles Spurgeon actually preached a sermon on those initials and those letters. What would Jesus do? All right? And so let me give you just a little bit of history about it. So how did this become so popular here in the United States? And so there was actually a youth group leader, a lady that was living in Holland, Michigan at the time, leading her youth group in the 90s, and she wanted to challenge her kids to this question. As you encountered life, what would Jesus do? And that's how these bracelets and this fad caught on in the United States. Had no idea that it would lead to this. I'm pretty sure you can still get them yet today if you went online and ordered them. But I want you to consider this phrase today and how it pertains to serving others as I read you this verse out of Matthew 20, verse 28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ came, died on that cross, for you and I to have eternal life. His time, his energy, all the way to his life, his blood, he gave that you and I could have eternal life. And you know what he asks of you? Some might give the blood, right? We call that persecution today if you give your life for Christ. But what he mostly needs is your time. Your time. Your life. So as we follow Christ, we learn to live like him, right? We're called to give our lives. We are called to live like he did so that others may experience life. How many of you are so excited that you've met Jesus Christ in your life? Right? Yeah, because he changed who you are. He changed the way that you live. I know some of your stories, and they're great stories. This past week, we met with five couples, individuals at the elders' meeting. We had an incredible night of stories of people who have been changed by Jesus Christ. They shared their story down there on Wednesday night, and I got done with the elders, and I said, you know what? This is church. And I wish I could have them come up here. We should have just recorded it. We could have had church. I could have just hit play, and you could have listened to what they had to say about Jesus Christ. And if you want to know, go talk to the elders, and they'll back me up on this. It was an amazing night. God is alive and well. God is changing people's lives. And they show up here at this church. So my goal here today is that you recognize where you're at. And I'm not condemning you where you're at. I love you. I have grace for you. But what do you need to improve if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ in that area of your life? Because we're good at getting our spiritual life service. Remember I talked to you about changing oil in the car every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, and we get to church, but what about the rest? What about the rest? Now I'm imagining that some of you in your mind, you've already come up with all the reasons not to. All right? Is that a fair question to ask you this morning? Yeah? Okay. So here, I got some down here. So what about, I really don't like that person. When I'll serve, but I don't know if I can get along with that person. What did we learn last week? Jesus said, you need to pray for your enemies. Didn't he? He said, this is what the kingdom was going to look like. You need to pray for your enemies. Don't avoid them. Don't run from them. Live life with them and pray for them. Now you might be thinking, well, what about people that I don't know? I got an answer for that one too. How many of you remember the story of the Good Samaritan with the injured man along the side of the road? Who the Good Samaritan had no idea who that was. He bandaged him up. He paid for the innkeeper or whatever to take care of him. And he made sure that he was well taken care of. Had no clue who that guy was. We have a lot of new people in church, and I often hear, well, I'm not even sure who that is. Well, go find out. Go ask. Go have a conversation. What about day-to-day living? What if I'm just struggling with life, and it's difficult, and I'm not sure if I'm gifted in that area? What if you just can't even function? And here's my regard to that. Do I have a Bible verse? I do. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is what he said to Paul. And Paul said, I can't be your missionary. He said one simple phrase. My grace is sufficient for you. I mean, you're going to be just fine. I'll give you everything that you need. You might struggle once in a while, but that's okay. Because then you become dependent upon me, not yourself, is what he says. And Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses, because that's when God shines. You know, when you're a pastor, how many are school teachers in here? If you're a school teacher, or you've been a school teacher, I would love to, yeah, there we go. How many excuses have you heard that kids won't do their homework, and why, right? You guys chuckle and you laugh, right? Oh, my dog ate it, right? We've heard that one. That's kind of an old one, but the wildest things happened why you couldn't get your homework done, right? So let me ask you this. What kind of wild excuse do you give God when it comes to working for the kingdom. Because he knows. Just like the teacher knew. Well, yeah, I seen you at the game last night. That's why you didn't get your homework done, right? You're off doing something else. But what kind of an answer do you give God? That's my encouragement there today to you. Think about those things. I have another verse I want to share with you this morning. And this one's, I'm behind one. There we go. I'm going to read this to you, and then I just want you to just listen real close, okay? Now remember, let me set the stage for you here. I said to you this morning that this is about money, and it is about money. But I also think that it goes beyond money, and it goes in service to our church and into our communities and to the kingdom of God. I think this applies. It's pretty broad the way that this applies. So now as I read this to you, I want you to think about that in your own life. Here we go. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Right? Talks about money there. For God loves a cheerful giver. We get that. We understand that. And God is able to bless you abundantly, meaning that when we give, God will bless us in many different ways. Right? We understand that. And then it goes on, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work that he calls you to. How many of you get the word abound? How about if I used much or plenty or overfilled instead of abound in your life? Right? He talks about that in money, but I also think he talks about that in your service to the kingdom of God, that you will abound. There's blessings there that are waiting for you, church. Blessings. And I don't want you to miss out. How many of you have been blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ? How many have been blessed by your church? How many have been blessed by somebody else in the church, maybe a Sunday school teacher that you can go back to, or how many, raise your hands for me this morning. How many of you have been blessed somewhere along the line by Jesus Christ in some way? Yeah, I hate to tell you this, but you all have. Every one of you has been blessed in a great way. You sit in a free country, in a church that gets to preach the truth and the word of God this morning. Don't miss out on God's blessings. Do you ever wonder this question that I'm going to give you here? Do you ever have the feeling that you're made for more than a mediocre life? You ever, you know, is this it, God? Is this all you have for me? Maybe you're a little stagnant in your life, or maybe you're a little bored in your life, and you're not sure where it's going, and it's kind of empty, and, you know, is that it? That, I want you to ask yourself that question this morning. Are there things that you daydream about, like, oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, I wish, you know, whatever it is, fill in the blank, in your life as you follow Jesus Christ. See, the problem is that something's missing. You're eager for something. You're not fulfilled in your walk. There's something deep inside you that's planted there by God that hasn't been filled by you yet. Pray for it to be filled. Pray for God to close that gap. And here's the verse I want to use for you to understand that in your life, because there's so many people that miss this, right? Life becomes mundane. Did you know that the suicide rate this last 2 years has skyrocketed? And mostly in those ages that are 40 and up, it's even gone way beyond the charts. Because people are living hopeless lives today. They live selfish lives for themselves. They're not fulfilled. They're missing something. And here's what the Bible says. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Meaning that he's got work for you to do that's already laid out and set up, and he's waiting for you to join him. And get this. More than likely, where you're working today is exactly where he wants you to be. And he wants you to join in. Sometimes I think that we live life like this. These 6 days, Monday through Saturday, they're kind of what I do in my life. This is my job. This is my work. Then Sunday, I give that to God. I go to church and I worship and I teach Sunday school, right? But the problem is that God wants these other 6 days. On your farm, in your business, when you go to the work at the hospital, at school, whatever it is. God says, I want to go with. I want you to live it out wherever you are. I want you to use your gifts and to grow the kingdom of God. I want you to tell your story. And that's how the church changes people's lives. And that's what God expects from you and I. So I encourage you to get into it. How do you love others well? How do you love others well? And I'm going to give you the answer to that this morning. You'll be like, oh, really? All right, here it comes. We serve them. You work in the kingdom of God. Like Jesus did. How much did Jesus give? Just a little? They just poke his finger like you're doing a diabetes check, right? No. He went all the way to death for that. And he invites you to come into that. He might not ask you to die for him, but he might ask you, hey, I need a half an hour this week of your time. I want you to do this. Or you need to speak to that person. Or you need to go talk to your neighbor and get that worked out. That's what I'm talking about. Serve others. Live at peace with God. Let the Spirit drive you. Let the Spirit move you throughout your week of the things he's calling you to. So here's what I'm pretty sure I know. When you pray that God move me, show me what you want me to do, I think that he does, but then I think that we come up with all these excuses of why we can't. I can't do that. I can't get up here and give a sermon and preach. You know, that's what I thought 13 years ago. Like, you're crazy, God. Risk a little. The reward is huge. Amen? That's what it's about. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, that's a little bit of a heavier sermon today. One that we don't always like to hear, Lord, of, you know, how are we doing in the kingdom? And Lord, this is a time for us to check our spiritual oil, Lord. So I just pray for wisdom for our church family today. I pray for peace wherever they find themselves at. In different places, in different things. Lord, I pray for schedules to open up and for people to make changes that move closer to you. Lord, you've called people to this church in many ways. Many new members, many new families. You're doing amazing things in this church. And we know we're far from perfect. We have our problems and our bumps. But yet, Lord, you're out in front of us, leading us, directing us. And so may you use your people today. I pray for those people, Lord, that maybe are a little convicted this morning from this message of, you know, I don't know if I'm doing enough. And Lord, may they take that further with you, whatever that looks like in their lives. May you show them that this week, Lord, of where you want them to be in your kingdom. So, Lord, may you bless your church today. May it be the light. Because, Lord, the goal is to share with those that there is eternal life out there. And may you use us. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.